like, nobody talk for a little while.
That's my game.
We're getting room sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll just keep talking and I'll ruin the entire room concept of getting room sounds.
Doing room sounds, right?
Room sounds, yes. Okay.
I don't know what this accomplishes, but
Ryan's driving a car.
He has a vroom setting.
Yeah. Okay.
He wants you to make a vroom sound.
Right. Okay.
Does Adobe have a vroom setting? Is that why you keep asking us to make vroom sounds?
Yes, that's why I'm asking you to make those sounds.
Okay.
All right. Vroom, okay. Vroom. How about? Oh no! It's
crashed. Oh no!
All right. Let's start the television show.
Hey guys, welcome to our new YouTube channel. This is what's going on. We're going to eat all the churros in every single park around the world. All the churros all at once. We're going to shove them in our mouth and we're going to use a shoehorn if we have to. Right here on Scraping This Resort.
Scrape That Resort. Wow. Wait, I'm not allowed to talk yet. Podcast rules.
I'm Chaz. And with me... I'm Chaz Cool Guy. This over here is another person who may or may not want to go by a different name, but his real name is Eric.
No, it's not. It's Rick Bottleneck over here, everybody.
And that other voice you're hearing, I'll let you introduce yourself just in case you want to play along.
That's huge.
Huge Mungus?
Nope, he's off the show.
On the ones and twos.
The ones and twos. All right. Well, hey, we're in two right now. What do you have to report? Huge?
Nothing.
Good job. All right. Back to you, Chaz.
Chaz, cool man. Cool guy.
Hello.
Don't forget, hit Michael Eisner's here with us, too.
Michael Eisner?
What now? What about?
Wasn't he always doing three hellos?
No, it was usually two. I don't know why he does two.
Don't forget to smash like and subscribe button, and this third worst person to win the contest will get a free leftover little wax paper from all the troops to see.
That's quite a gift. I'd love to send that to a very emboldened listener.
I bet Tom Corliss has a collection of those. Should we do the informational part of this first?
Let's stop making fun of our own show. Welcome to the Supreme Resort Land v World, a podcast about Disneyland and Walt Disney World, and which is the Supreme Resort. Jimmy's over in the corner, but I'll let him come up to the mic here, Jimmy. No, you can. He's chained to the wall, but if he comes closer to the mic. Okay, here you go. Here's Jimmy.
Welcome.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy. Jimmy's here. Don't worry, everybody. All of you Jimmy heads. He's here. He's just chained to the wall. And he's only around to welcome people. So welcome to the Supreme Resort. As I've already said, Land v World, a podcast about Disneyland, Walt Disney World. Jimmy's taking a break. And we're not. But what we do have is Ryan.
Hi, guys.
It's Let's Ryan.
Honest, we are.
Not actually huge.
Very true. We are also taking a break. There has not been a plethora of research. There are not myriad notes in front of Dan that he has written on toilet paper.
To the show,
I don't know what you normally do. He does have, there's a bunch of phone booths on the TV behind him. That's an interesting perspective that he doesn't normally have.
Well, and I have all of my notes on a triangle earth. So we're
okay.
I'll prove it.
All right. Well, here's where we go. This particular episode, we're going to argue which alternative earth theory is correct.
Actually, we should argue. We should put Ryan on the spot and do an argument of which of our episodes of his podcast was better. Because that's what we're here to do, ultimately, is to tell the listener to go over to PunyPod and listen to all of their episodes.
But, yes, please. And you know what's even better is the Super Secret Show.
Oh, yeah.
That where they do all the spoilers. Super Secret Spoiler Show. What do you call it?
Yeah, Super Secret Spoiler Show. If I ever actually edit it, it'll get out. But there's a few of them on the Ears Up Patreon, so they're a good time, and we definitely have a lot of conversation around beards. If are your thing, which beards, if and you're Nick, a podcast listener,
Nick Cages,
yeah.
Oh, and Ryan, we haven't even asked you, what is your podcast about?
Yes, so PunyPod, we do Marvel. We are rewatching the Marvel Universe in order, starting from Iron Man. We are up to Thor: Dark World. These two fine gentlemen. Eric was on the Avengers episode, and Dan joined us for Thor: Dark World.
Mm-hmm. One of those movies universally liked. Yes. Yeah, and Thor: the Dark other World. One was the Avengers.
Correct.
Yes.
No. So, and then every other release is also some sort of news or something like that. We call it the Monthly Bugle, but right now with everything going on, news is hard to come by. So it's getting a little bit more goofy as we go along.
Right, because these writers have these poor studio executives by the short hairs.
Absolutely.
They've been taking advantage of the system for all these years, and it's about time that they be held accountable.
Why are you laughing? This is true.
It's just impossible for these multinational corporations to do what the independent film studios have been doing.
If you want more information about this, go to cryptochurch.chazcoolguy.ru.org.
Oh, well, yeah, we've got a soundboard, everybody. Don't you worry. So, and hey, if you're missing Asher, here's the one that I left in the soundboard.
My grandma says Canada is a made up place that's made up to scare hard working Americans like her. Sure. She's been retired for like 35 years.
I'm sorry, that's a real and cool kid.
Yeah, that was Asher.
Never mind.
So as far as like informative content and a reason, that's kind of all we need to say for this episode. But we're going to keep going because you've listened to our show.
And thanks to J.R. Trimp for all of the great music. That's a puny pod sting there. Oh yeah. Well, yes, let's jump in, I suppose. Do you guys want to talk about some things and make an episode where Jimmy and also us are taking a break?
Let's do it.
David's also taking a break. We were going to have David on. He's also from PunyPod, but he is watching Barbie. So, you know where his politics lean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seeing the movie is a political statement.
He really wanted to put out a review of Indiana Jones, and I told him no, it had to be Barbie. So that he's on assignment right now.
Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
Not the Dial of Destiny. All right. Well, let's start out with a softball here. Was Iger's return a good thing?
Yeah, oh God. Go to igershirt.com.
I'm wearing my chapek here today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it stopped a bad thing.
Okay. What was the bad thing?
Chapek. I do think like
okay.
I think the decisions Chapek was making were bad. I don't know that Iger was the medicine for that ill.
Okay.
What I would say. Yeah.
And that's the tough part is it, Chapek was put into a difficult spot and did what he could with things. And it looks it looks kind of bad to have Iger coming back. In some ways, it's great. And in some ways, it's like, OK, so you stepped out because you got the Illuminati memo that a pandemic was coming and you should probably step away. Don't worry, we'll bring you back.
I think. Is he? I think it's sort of like when there's like a giant flesh wound, right? And like someone's just bleeding profusely, and you don't have time to like. You can't go to the emergency room, or you don't have like the ability or resources to like make a proper tourniquet, mm-hmm. but you do have like an old Taco Bell bag in the back seat, and you're like. This will technically stop the bleeding. Yeah, there's like opened mild sauce packets in there that we don't have time to sort out. There's some grease stains on it, but it will at least stop the bleeding. Bob Iger is that Taco Bell bag.
There you go. Well, yeah, and that's it. He's a known quantity, and it's interesting. The only thing that makes me, we all knew that he was going to re-up when they said he's only going to be here for 3 years. And he's like, can we make it four? We all knew that was going to happen. The only thing that confuses me is while this strike is starting up, he's saying, well, I mean, I don't think they're ever going to get what they want. I'm like, okay, that was a Chapek level PR problem.
Yeah. Yeah,
he forgot to put on his Chapek mask when he said that.
Right. What was that?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's hilarious to watch it blow up in his face in some ways, just because like there are studios that are doing exactly what the actors and writers want, and so for Disney to come out and say it's impossible, it's unreasonable is a little bit. I don't know what the word I'm looking for. It's false, right? It's just patently untrue. And so mm-hmm. I do think his handling of the creative strikes has been poor. I think that's been a pretty big blemish on his legacy, quote unquote. You know, he at this point, that's all he's doing is he's just creating his legacy. And it's, I wonder, I'm like stumbling into a point here.
happens all the time on this show.
Yep.
I wonder if this return for Iger starts to go down the Eisner route. Eisner never left, but there is like pre and post in Eisner's career, right?
It's true.
Pre-Wells' passing, post-Wells' passing, and like... Mm-hmm. Is this so going to be the same thing?
Is Frank Wells got it?
Are you yeah. saying that we're going to have to like vote him out? Or is there going to be a massive get him out of office undertaking like they did with Eisner? I mean, they had to Roy
dethrone him. Yeah,
Roy's son organized an effort to bring a bunch of people together. And they all voted no confidence, and the board had to get rid of him at that point because all of the shareholders showed up at a conference and said, we don't want this man in charge anymore.
I don't know that it gets to that point. I don't know.
I think Iger is trying to get us there. So like, of course I'm the least business savvy person in probably this entire network. And so I'm just going off of like the vibes and narrative. I think what might be happening is he's like, okay, I screwed up that exit by being like, okay. Hey, I'm leaving. We'll find someone soon, but bye. And then on his way out the door, it's like, I guess we have this. and then they're like, oh no, oopsies. And he comes back And I think the he came back with the idea that like a new exit strategy needs to be like, we're going to redo the exit. And I think if we get those two guys, whatever the name is, Phineas and Ferb or whatever, the people,
Tom Staggs and the other guy,
that guy. Yeah. Staggs, Staggs, Chili and Bush Baked Beans.
there we go.
If we, you know, like, set them up as like, okay, they're the cool ones. I'm the weird guy. I'm the guy that's kind of ruining the company, kind of in the way, weirdly dressing like a cult leader increasingly. And then like basically get to a point where it's like, are we cool if I leave? And everyone's like, yeah, go, bye, leave. We want them. But I think he's not, I think he slash the company learned that handing a giant problem, aka COVID, aka human COVID, known as Lil Rhonda.
Oh gosh,
Lil Rhonda.
I think it would be a bad idea to do a shift in leadership while those things are happening. You know, I think it's a little, you know, maybe once Lil Rhonda is voted out and his political career is no longer sustainable, then.
So weird conspiracy.
Let's go for it.
Is
I got my triangle earth chart ready.
Iger. Is Iger signing on? Does his new contract coincide with the end of Little Rhonda's gubernatorial run?
Are you saying he's not going to be our president?
No. But like, is Iger setting himself up at this point? Does he see the opportunity to make a play in politics, particularly in Florida?
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Oh, that's so interesting. I mean, he's dabbled with politics so much over the last few years, and then he kind of bowed out.
Yeah.
For a little bit there, he got very quiet, even as he was criticizing early on during the COVID years. And then Biden got elected and he's like, okay, I'm out. Don't worry about it. And he hasn't really made a play since then. I don't know. Dan's more plugged into that sort of scene than I am.
I think in terms of president, Gruesome Gavin Newsom, who I like, I just like calling him that. he's probably more set up and in line to be ready to say, like, are you serious? We cannot have Kamala Harris being the front runner. I think Gavin Newsom is. I'm putting those two people in next to each other in my mind. And it's like Newsom is the more politically electable version of that same person.
Okay.
Senator Bob Iger? I don't know. I don't think so.
He's got to start somewhere other than president, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I could see him maybe putting together like a pack or something, like something along those lines, being very clearly politically involved.
That does feel more genuine.
But
not
holding an office. Yeah.
Not holding an office. Maybe this stuff with Little Rhonda could push him in a direction of like, hey, here's this org that is like, you know, focused on ensuring the free speech rights of corporations, these poor corporations, which are people. I don't know. I don't see a good entry point for him in politics, unless he like, not Texas, not Florida, not Texas, not California.
Yeah. 'Cause that's the tricky part with Florida is, generally, that state is still tricked by Little Rhonda. It's waning that he's losing, but it's a hard entry. It'd be a hard entry point for someone like an IG.
Yeah, but I mean that little core of liberalism is literally that. It's a tiny core in the center of the state. The rest of the state isn't all that interested, from what I've seen.
I'm gonna make a little correction there. I don't see Florida as being traditionally liberal in any sense of the word, but definitely a populist left. If you can rock the vote,
Dan
gets a little uncomfortably political. One of the issues one of the issues that at least I feel exist is that a lot of people on the right, on the populist right, and a lot of people on the populist left are identifying very similar problems, but the solutions are almost diametrically opposed. Because on one hand, and just to have a sprinkling of non-politicalization here, on one hand, it's, you know, these are the problems that you face, and these are the material conditions that you are living through, which are actual problems. And it's because those people are doing it to you. And those people happen to be, you know, immigrants or trans people or whatever the villain of the week is, right? And then on the other side, it's okay, here are some issues, and by the way, it's all built into this entire class structure that we are all a part of. So what if we looked at that? You know, and by the way, you can still have your nice things. We just want to identify that, you know.
But Dan, maybe, what if my nice thing is Splash Mountain?
Well, then.
I guess we're out of time on this topic, and it's me then the day story.
Don't worry, guys, I'm back. It's me, Chaz Cool Guy. The establishment is like the best thing ever. Buy a Ferrari.
How else would it get established if it wasn't an establishment?
Oh, yeah, my goodness.
This segment is brought to you by the new self-help book by Andrew Tate, What Color Is Your Bugatti?
All right, let's get some verses into here. Here's a question for everybody in the gallery, both of you. What rider attraction would be the best and or worst? Let's start with the best. What's the best cast member job if you're on an attraction? Daniel, Chaz, start us out.
Okay, it's me, Chaz Cool Guy.
Wait, Jimmy has something to say. Hang on.
Welcome.
Haunted Mansion. Okay, thanks. Got it.
Thanks. Thanks, Jimmy.
I got. Can I give two answers for best?
Yeah, go for it. Okay. Go for it. If you're right, I'll give you a point.
Okay. I think I have to lean into myself as an unintentional ironic interpretation of myself and say Jungle Cruise. I almost vomit in my mouth a little bit when I say that because it is both true and exactly what I think everybody expects me to say.
Oh no. It's like they've figured you out.
And I think great moments with Mr. Lincoln. Because I love how dry that is. And you can tell they just get the biggest nerds possible.
I like that. I like those responses, especially the Mr. Lincoln. Do costumes take any part of this? Like if you included costumes as part of your decision, would that change your answer?
No, not at all.
Okay. All right. Well, here's a point for Dan.
Ahoy, mateys. How do you feel of taco?
Taco.
Ryan.
I think, well, first let me say, as just a average worker, I want to say the Tiki Room. And I think this came from an interview that Teg had on DL Weekly, where they were talking about, they were talking to somebody who worked in the Tiki Room.
Listen to DL Weekly on a completely different network.
Apparently there's just a, you can just nap, which as somebody who enjoys, you know, midday naps. Sure.
Once you wake up Jose, you can just go to sleep for 15 minutes.
Yeah, they were saying something about like the cast member chair can be propped up just right behind like the only entrance that your boss would have. So if your chair kind of moves, it wakes you up and, you know, you're on with the show. Which, hey, that always sounds nice as a worker, but a fan.
And what are they going to do? Have a water landing? Like, it's all like, you know, like,
yeah.
And you've already told them where to exit, and nobody's, I mean, I'm sure in your average shift, like one or two people within the shift will be like, oh, hey, excuse me. I have a question. And be like, I told you exits over that way. No, I just want. Yeah, it's still over there.
I think legitimately, like, fun one would be the safaris, though, over in Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
It's got a little bit of humor. There's
driving and doing the narration and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a little bit of humor in that script, not like Jungle Cruise level of cringe humor or anything like that.
Ever since they dropped the whole
the poaching
environmental thing. Okay.
Yeah. Plus you get to see like cool animals all day, which like who can argue with that?
All right. Okay. Well, I think Ryan gets a here's a point. I don't know how much this point is worth, but here's a point. Ghosts don't have ears. That's the point. Okay. All right. Good response. I like that. Okay. All right. How about?
What about the worst? Are we doing the worst?
Yeah, let's go with the worst. Which attraction do you think would be worst? I'm going to kick it off here because I think Space Mountain and Big Thunder Mountain are probably the worst because of the stress level. That might be the best for me because they have great outfits and I enjoy the location. I enjoy they've got cool music to listen to. Space Mountain, they're standing indoors, at least Big Thunder, they're probably in the shade, but the stress level of it all, making sure that once all of the trains are running, that you have to get that thing out in X number of minutes. And I don't know what the number of minutes is, but they know the exact amount of time. That's what we saw a few years ago when we did the single rider line at Space Mountain, where the single rider line wasn't moving at all. It's not posted. It's not I don't know that it's a real line, but hey, it worked. Because there were some people who were just screwing around and couldn't quite get in there. And finally, the cast member said, everybody out, stand back. Seven of you go now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's something like 20 seconds. It's
so tight.
It's like that thing that Eric and you and I have talked about this off the air or whatever, where there's that like that there's not a word for it that I know of, but like that thing where it's like, you know for sure that they measured in the bathroom the absolute smallest amount of paper towel that they can give you and still have it be a reasonable amount.
Yeah.
But you can tell because it's so tiny. You're like, I technically could do this, but no, thank you.
Well, my and hands will be mostly dry by the time I leave.
That's kind of the amount of time they have for Space Mountain. Like it's like, yeah, you could, but everything has to run really well, and that's why sometimes if you are, I think we mentioned this before, but it's been a while, sometimes if you like just get in the Space Mountain and you're getting situated, they will send you they won't send you on the ride itself, but they'll get you out of the loading station
to take
care of your business. And I've seen them panic before. They're just like, go, go. Like they literally, I'm not even like exaggerating, just like go exit. It's like, oh my god, because the ride will break down.
Yeah,
right. Yeah. They have to shut the entire thing down. My lead will be all over me if you don't get out of that thing now.
Yeah. And it's, I feel like if they were to remove one car from the track, it would solve so many of those problems.
But it's so high capacity if everything is running. Yeah. But
yeah, it's it's a trade-off. I accept it.
Yeah.
But we didn't get your best ride to work on.
Oh, you're right. My best ride. Yeah, I didn't think about answering the question myself. I only thought about the worst one. I don't know. Tiki Room's a pretty good answer on both coasts. It's pretty much wear a cool outfit. I think if I'm going to include the outfit, it's going to be Tower of Terror at Walt Disney World at Hollywood Studios. I've always loved that costume, and I love that they can actually be scary. I distinctly remember the time I went as a teenager with my, I can't remember if it was the band trip or if it was the choir trip, but was I a show choir or a band member at the time? I don't know, but I do remember the doors opening and the cast member standing there, the one who had put us on the elevator, who obviously had to go upstairs to where the elevator ends. And the doors open and he said, "Welcome back." And he's just standing there like nose against the door practically as it opened. He's just smiling with his creepy smile. And he said, "Welcome back, please." And he's telling us to get our seatbelts off and everything. But that was so much fun. It like that guy was having a fun day and he's at work. So that was always the kind of quintessential thing for me was if I could wear a cool costume and work at Disney, great, I'm in.
Oh, that set of parameters also unlocked another one that I I was like, oh man, I should have thought of this, which is Rise of the Resistance, the Imperial, being the Imperials, and just get a lot of really cool guest interactions. I actually broke the first time I rode Rise of the Resistance. I made an Imperial like break their shell. And they had to like step off stage because couldn't hold back laughing. It was pretty great, but those ones would be fun.
And that's interesting because I've seen there are plenty of people who are like, I'm going to listen to what they have to say, and please don't look at me. I don't want to interact with an improv actor right now. And then there's somebody like my niece, Robin, who we're standing in line, and she's like, I'm going to tell them no. she was up for it. When somebody walked by, they're like, please stand here. Okay. She's like throwing that little passive attitude where she's like, fine, I'll stand over here. And she's glaring at them. And they're like, are you going to step onto your mark? Sure.
That's awesome.
I think I've said it before on the show that like, and Eric, I know you've witnessed this. I really enjoy playing the over-eager, overly pleasant, like clueless that any harm is upon me. Just oh, thank you. So you want me to stand here? Okay, thanks. How's your day?
Are we going to be interrogated with one of those probe droids? Okay. I'm in.
Cool. All right. So they'll be like, I have a shellfish allergy. I don't know if that like means anything.
I've got a 245 at Blue Bayou. Just letting you know.
Or just be like, ooh, busy day for the Empire, huh?
Are we for real in space? Because I'm double parked.
Yeah.
All right. Worst attractions to work at as a CM.
Canoe.
Oh, really?
And not so much because of the physical activity, because like I could totally do it.
Oh yeah. Look at his biceps, everybody.
But I think it would just drive me crazy. So many people, either before, after, or during the ride, being like, do I really have to, like, we told you several times, we held up the paddle, we said, you will be doing this. Yeah. Clearly it's a canoe. You know what a canoe is. Why are you here if you're not going to, I don't even care if you're like not going to paddle, like, just don't complain about, you saw what it was. You saw it when you were over by Thunder Mountain. You came here from there. You saw what it was. You got in the line. You watched people get on the thing. You heard us tell them what it was. And now you're still complaining. You're not allowed to be here anymore. I'm going to throw you in the water and you have to drink it.
They're like, Chaz, that's the third person you've thrown overboard this week.
Chaz. I'm sorry if your name is Chaz, but come on.
All right. Well, Chaz gets a point for that one.
Pier.
To the listener, I'm just going through our folder full of sounds. And I don't know why this is so entertaining to me.
We did tell you. Just, if you're still listening and you're like, when are they going to start arguing about this strategy? We told you. Go listen to
PewDiePod. We all took the week off. We all took the week off.
If you want content, I suspect Eric's episode is going to be a little bit more coherent than mine, but I'm not sure.
It's certainly longer than yours.
You know the show.
I don't know that it's going to be longer.
Oh, no.
Truth be told.
Oh, no.
I can't wait for Dan's. I've been waiting so long for this.
Yeah, Dan.
Ever since you launched this show, I've been waiting for Dan to talk about Thor 2.
It's a good time. It is a good time. And it may be our longest episode to date. After said in our group text, this one shouldn't be too long.
Ryan, worst attraction to be the CM of?
I think
if you pull it off, you might hear Huellhauser.
Ooh, Huellhauser.
That's the incentive.
We're in the house around.
The worst one. I was gonna say pirates, but I don't have the only reason for pirates would be the repetitive soundtrack. I'm going to go though. That was coming out of my mouth, I realized the better one, which is Autopia. The fumes, the noise, the outside
lack
of
soundtrack.
It all. Yeah. I love those things. You're as a fan.
Yo, soy bird. Yo, soy bird.
I love those things as a fan. Like, I like the diesel fumes. I like the sound of the like motors. But I also think standing there for 8 hours in the sun, having all of that happening around me, that would be pretty awful. And their costumes aren't that cool. Like, they're a little bit futury, but
they're gray.
Yeah.
as soon as you said that answer, I immediately had this weird, like, almost full, and I'm not even joking here, almost full on sense memory of the feeling of what it felt like to work at Chuck E. Cheese, which is the worst place that I've ever worked. And
yeah,
I think you win this round because that's got everything unpleasant.
Oh, and I'm thinking about the like guest interactions too. The like, why can't my kid drive?
Or I would imagine the worst, the thing that would push me over the edge repeatedly would be, well, why can't you get these things to work? I waited X amount of time. I spent X amount of money. And the guy's wearing like a I know t-shirt, by the way. And it's like, you would think with all the money and like everything in me would want to be like, let me tell you about Bill Burr or Bob Gurr or whatever. I always get the former AG completely ruined my ability to remember that man's name. Let me tell you about how these things were made and how long they've been here.
I mean, that's round five or six, right, at this point, but still.
Yeah.
All right. I think that deserves a Huel.
Hi, I'm Huel Hauser.
Yes.
The only one that's worth more points is Eisner. So let's continue here. Let's see. If you had to introduce a rewards system for loyal park guests, what would you do?
Ooh, I have a good one for this.
Oh, okay.
Right, go for it. You go first.
I'm going to jump in, yeah. So I think you tier out the rides and you get a point per ride, but or attraction, not ride.
He's already out. He called them rides.
but the lowest tier is worth the most points. And so you just have all the loyal fans writing Casey Jr. on repeat, just over and over and over again. Maybe Gadget's Go Coaster. But yeah. And so you get a cookie when you get enough points or something, cookie or a pin, because that we're the Disney company and those are the two things we know how to give away.
How about a button, not a pin?
Yeah, button, not a pin. Yeah. Thank you.
You get a button and a cookie, and that's so you're saying that the incentive here is to prove how loyal a fan you are by riding all of the worst rides.
Exactly. I mean, you could get there by riding Rise of the Resistance, but it's only going to be worth 1 point, and you got to get 10,000 points to get there.
And I shouldn't say worst. All the ones that we as super fans are considering to be the best and most historic and Walt sneezed near it attractions.
Case Jr. is a great ride.
I've been on it once. I did it. I still haven't been on Columbia.
Good. Never.
It's the only one over there I haven't done.
Loyalty. I think a loyalty program should, first of all, not include annual pass holders.
Do I feel an episode of Very Annual Pass Holders?
Oh gosh, I forgot about that one.
our one episode. I think it shouldn't. Yeah, I don't think it should include annual pass holders because, I mean, as much as I want the free things and the cool things, they're kind of keeping us in our place right now, which is what they should be doing. But if I think it should apply to people I have a friend who really should have a pass because of the amount of times that they went in a year. And looking back, they're I should have gotten that pass. Maybe if you go a certain number of times that would have warranted getting an annual pass, and some nerd somewhere in an office can figure out those numbers. Maybe retroactively offer a discount on a pass going for a minor 10% or whatever, something that is still significant on a pass going forward, or and you could tie that all into the app because they're making you use the app anyway. Or maybe on the super high end, you can have I don't love SeaWorld, but I like that they have these little extra experiences you can have. Maybe, if you reach a certain number of points that, again, that's on the high end, they'll
let you touch Lincoln.
Yeah. You can kiss Lincoln on the cheek or something, or maybe drive one of the main street vehicles in a controlled setting or something I don't know.
You get to be the mermaid in the submarine lagoon.
Yeah, they bring that back for a day and they're like, "Hi guys, it's me, Chaz. I'm here for the mermaid." Someone can come up with a better, more clear idea of what that, even something along the lines of "Hey, we'll get you to, you'll be the one person to drive the Mark Twain when that's not a random selection for the day." These little just tiny things where it's pick one. But again, at the high end of points. So it's not just 100 people every day doing these things. It's five,
There are a lot of storied experiences around the Disney parks that they're inaccessible by virtue of their randomness. Whether it's eating in, you mentioned a bunch of them. And so I do think some sort of way to unlock those would actually legitimately be really cool, where like you don't have to you don't have to just hope that your one trip a year is the one where you get to ride the, you get to drive the Mark Twain, or you get to you know, sit in the lamplight special office right. room, those sort of things. Yeah, I think those would be really cool little rewards.
Yeah, I like that idea of building up something and offering it to people who aren't necessarily annual pass holders, people who go a couple times a year. That's one of those things. It's like getting the, you know, sub card that it, okay, well, I don't go to this place that often, but hey, if I get 10, then I get another one free. So I right. guess maybe I'll go back again. You know, you don't necessarily offer it to the people that are there every day, because, well, I guess you got to come up with something for them other than, hey, you get to come here every day because you live down the street. But I like the idea of having some of those limited things, like saying, I'm going to schedule the next time I'm there. All right. It's October 12th at 3:30 p.m. I get to ride the Lily Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we get onto the special train car, or we get to do something different. Like Dan said, I get to drive the horseless carriage for 13 feet.
I think they did some of that in, was it the 25th anniversary, where they did the Year of a Thousand Wishes or whatever? And like, there was the big, like, as you checked in for the day, you could potentially win something like that. And I think something like that's really cool. And I think that's something that Disney's missing right now, is that like there is hitting that mid tier between the annual pass holders who are mm-hmm. there every weekend and the family who's going, you know, once in a lifetime type of trip. I'll put myself in that tier, right? I'm kind of in that tier where we go once, maybe twice a year. And so there's definitely, I mean, I'm not stopping going, so obviously they still have my money, but I think there's space to grow out that tier a little bit.
Yeah, and I think you could maybe earn points over a very long period of time, you know, so it's not just like you have to, so there's no like, I got to get, you know, 500 points in a year. More just like, hey, if you're the type of person that comes very, you know, frequently enough, but for whatever reason, you're not getting an annual pass, in a couple years, maybe five, maybe could be, you know, it won't be immediate, but like, well, at some point you'll get a notification that like, hey, you unlocked this tier of experience or whatever.
You unlocked, you know, the tier where you get your own podcast.
Right. And for that, you just join Jason's OnlyFans.
There we go. Let's see, that brings up a different question. So Ryan mentioned the Year of a Million Dreams. I have a story from that year that I don't think I've told on this podcast or any other. Was anyone else affected by a major Disney thing? Because Year of a Million Dreams was 2 years long and had all sorts of stuff going on. There were also, like Ryan mentioned, that there were other promotions heading into Disneyland in particular with the, you know, whatever guest of the day got a car, and they gave away a car a day, and they gave away park tickets and all these other things. Have either of you ever gotten something as a prize at a Disney park?
This sounds like quite the cliffhanger, Eric.
Oh, you know what? Let me tell my story right now.
To hear the rest of, hi, I'm Chaz Cool Guy. To hear the rest of this conversation, go on over to Scrape This Off. It's www.cryptowalletcurrencychurch.jazzcoolguy.ru.com.us.com.
Your attention, please.
So we just got our first live ad read, and I just got this in the email, and they said, be sure to use this music. I guess there's this company called Single Riders that has been advertising on our
Joe? I've heard a few of their ads, and if I wasn't married, I'd totally log in.
People have referenced it to me as though like they think it's a joke we're doing, but it's I guess it's an app that you go to Disneyland by yourself, and you're like, I don't really. They gave us minimal notes. It just find your happily ever after, which is super vague. And I think they're doing. I'm not sure, but I think they're doing a promo code to commemorate 9/11, which is weird to me.
Yeah, I mean,
interesting.
I think.
Okay, sure. All right, very patriotic.
It's
never forget.
Always remember, never forget. Which. Just my
that's
feedback.
That's the promo
it's
code.
A really long promo code, and it doesn't say what you get from it. I don't know.
So 10% off, 5% off. What?
The email address is from a Russian domain. I mean, there are advertisers. So
okay,
check.
Yeah. Hey,
I don't know if you go to the Apple store or the Droid. If you're, I don't. They're very vague. But
all right.
It's a single rider's. Go be a single rider, I guess.
Do they have like a punchline or a little bit of copy that they want us to read? I mean, they wanted the live read. That's all I saw is they paid for a live read. And I think that's what we gave them.
It's just please. It just says please promote our app on show.
On show. Okay.
On show.
Hey, we did it.
I mean, and then
cha-ching.
Yeah. So
thanks.
I don't know if it's a website or I don't know what it is, but people seem to think it's us. And I just want to clarify it's single riders. I don't know what it is, but hey, if that's how you want to, I mean, I feel like it's a little bit of a hashtag cash grab, but whatever. My fear is that someone will hear about it and think, hey, that's a really good idea. And this thing will actually exist.
Oh, no. That's the worst. As if this company actually existed.
Because it shouldn't. Just because it's a cute name. It shouldn't.
But we got paid 16 ruples. Ruples, by the way. I don't know what currency that is.
I think that's from Legend of Zelda.
No, that's rupees.
Oh, rupees.
But 16 of them are in your account now, Dan.
So, single riders, if it is a real thing, go get it. And if it's not, please don't make it a real thing.
Well, that coincided perfectly with the timing of the song. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We're sorry to leave it on a cliffhanger, but we're going to head over to Scraping the Vault. Our other hit show to continue the stories that you've been longing for so urgently.
So maybe probably one person who still sat there after the warning. We told you.
Right.
That one person is on this episode. So
thanks, everybody. Be kind to each other. And for now, court is adjourned.
Fresh bait. I can just imagine someone like, ooh, it's a short episode. Let's see. Ah, fuck.
Yeah, they actually wrapped it up in less than an hour. I can't wait.
This is the best episode to share with my friends and family.
The barrier to entry is so low.
I'm intrigued by this.
Should we put a clickbaity title on this? Like, we the finally settle it.
That's it. It's the case of Disneyland versus Walt Disney World. We finally did it. The show's over, everybody. All right.